A Concise History of Italy by Christopher Duggan. Read by Jonathan Keeble for Naxos Audiobooks. Introduction. In the late spring of 1860, Giuseppe Garibaldi, a flamboyant, irregular soldier who had spent much of his life abroad fighting as a guerrilla leader, set sail for Sicily from a port near Genoa. On board his two small ships was a motley collection of students and adventurers, many of them barely out of their teens. Their mission was to unify Italy. The prospects for success seemed limited. The group was ill-armed, and few among them had any experience in warfare or administration. Moreover, they did not constitute a promising advertisement for the nation-to-be. Among the thousand or so volunteers were Hungarians and Poles, and the Italian contingent included a disproportionate number from the small northern city of Bergamo. However, in the space of a few months they succeeded in conquering Sicily and the mainland south from the Bourbons, and in March 1861, Victor Emmanuel II, King of Piedmont-Sardinia, became the first king of united Italy. The success of Garibaldi and his thousand was both remarkable and unexpected, and when the euphoria had died down, many sober observers wondered whether the Italian state could survive. France and Austria, the two greatest continental powers of the day, both threatened to invade the new kingdom, break it up, and reconstitute the Papal States, which had been annexed by Victor Emmanuel in the course of unification. A much more insidious long-term threat, however, to the survival of the new state was the absence of any real sense of commitment or loyalty to the kingdom among all except a small minority of the population. The country's new rulers justified their demands for heavy taxes and military service, the often harsh, repressive measures, and the unfamiliar institutions, by appealing to the sanctity and inviolability of the Italian nation. But for the overwhelming mass of Italians, the Italian nation, indeed Italy itself, meant almost nothing. The lack of loyalty to the new state haunted the country's intellectuals for many years after 1860. Initially, there was some hope that the introduction of liberal institutions and free trade would unleash the pent-up talents and energies of a people who had given the world the civilization of ancient Rome and the Renaissance, and the new prosperity, it was imagined, would generate support for the liberal order and its leaders. This soon proved illusory. By the late 1870s, socio-economic unrest had begun to erupt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?